Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
How are we all doing on this Mother's Day, by the way? Patsy, my friend, can I rat you out? Patsy gets out of the car with Mark. I love Patsy and Mark, known them for 25 years. She looks at me and she goes, "It's supposed to be hot on Mother's Day. What is wrong with the day?" And it may be a little cooler than we really anticipated, but I'm so glad that all of you chose to join us. And I know we have a lot of visitors today, and both online and live. So happy to have you with us. We want you to know that we have a special gift for you, or you can pick it up as you go out. It'll be at the information center. But if you'd like to receive it and you don't have time for that, or you're joining us online, you need to text this information too. Can we get that up if we could? EC guest to 39970 and follow the prompts, and we'll make sure we get that information in your hands. All right. So now let's talk about mothers. I loved my mom. My mom was amazing. Did you know that honoring your father and mother is one of the original Ten Commandments? Yeah, did you? I mean, that's cool. Exodus 20:12 says this: honor your father and mother. Then, a couple of cool things. You will live a long, full life in the land your God is giving you. When I was a young man, I had a pastor on a Mother's Day sermon said this. He said, "How many of you want to live a long, full life and receive all of the promises of God?" And about half the congregation raises their hands, because, you know, that's about half as many respond. I'll just ask you the same question. How many of you would like to live a long, full life and receive all of the promises of God? Okay, though, in order to do that, honor your father and mother, particularly your mother, since today is Mother's Day. And I thought that was an amazing thing to say. And I know that mothers come in a variety of packages, and we all have had a variety of experiences, but there is no one who doesn't have a reason to honor their mother. Did you know that in Genesis 3:20, it says this? It said, "Then the man Adam, the first man, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live." Did you know the word Eve means life? It means life. We are here because our mothers carried us to term. We are here because, hallelujah. Amen. We are here because they were willing to frankly, endure a lot of pain, suffering. I witnessed 3 births. I never, ever, ever want to have a baby. God bless you, Sarah. God bless you, Sarah. God bless you, Sarah. I'm so glad it's not me. I'm so glad it's not me. I mean, it's a challenge. It's a wonderful thing. We all have a reason to honor our father or honor our mothers, because they're the givers of life to us. And some of us, we're blessed to be able to be in service this morning with our mothers. Some of us will be joining with them later. Some of us will be Skyping them or FaceTiming them. But some of us can't. This year marks the 30th anniversary of my mother's passing. My mom's been dead for 30 years. She never met my wife. She never met any of my kids. You never got a chance to meet her. She was an amazing woman. Seriously, an amazing woman. Her name was Anna Louise Bowling. Went by the name Louise. Nobody goes by the name Louise anymore. She was born in Appalachia. She was born in poverty. Her family did not have electricity until she was a teenager, let alone indoor plumbing. She was born into an abusive situation. She left home around 16, put herself through college in the early 1950s, a woman going to college in the early 1950s, fairly impressive, at least it is to me. She married my father when she met him in school. I'm very grateful for that. I'm here because she chose to do that. She was she was the hardest working, most compassionate person I have ever known in my entire life. She did. My mom could forgive anybody. I mean, it was really bizarre to actually witness. And she worked herself, frankly, to an early grave, which I don't necessarily want to emulate, which is why I'm going on vacation tomorrow. I'll be gone for a week, in case you want to know. But my mother was an amazing woman. And I know that many of you've lost your parents. I spoke with a gentleman outside. He said he lost his mom 5 years ago. I spoke to another one who told me that he'd lost his, 25 years ago. And so before we go any further in the message, I just want to pray for you that if you've lost your mother or your grandmother, if you're watching online, and this is a sort of a bittersweet holiday. Maybe you're married and your spouse is there and you're having brunch with your wife and the mother of your children, but you've lost somebody. Or maybe you're a mom and you've lost your mother. My brother-in-law, his mom passed on Thursday this week. It was not unexpected. She was in failing health. But I don't care how long she's been sick. When your mother passes, it's a loss. So I just want to pause a moment and just pray for you. And Father, I do lift up everyone who has an empty chair at the table this day. Everyone who can't physically reach out to their mom and say, I love you. I appreciate you. I miss you. I pray for those who've recently lost a loved one, Father, and that fresh wound that maybe hasn't had time to heal, and for the grace of God to come in and touch. And all of us, God, who are missing someone this morning, we pray for one another that your peace and your comfort would be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And so now let's get into the message. And again, I'll encourage you. It is Mother's Day, but God's going to speak to you on Mother's Day. So take out a piece of paper, write down what the Holy Spirit talks to you about. I prayed a lot about this message because, you know, after you've done a few Mother's Day sermons, you know, what do you talk about? And it was interesting. Do you know what the Holy Spirit led me to this morning? This was surprising to me, but I don't think it should be. I really felt like he wanted me to encourage you mothers. And this is a message to you that moms, you're doing a good job. Did you not? If you're watching online, moms, you're doing a good job. I don't know if people have told you that enough. You're doing a good job. And so can we just take a second and just celebrate mothers for just say, hey, well done. Well done. We appreciate you. Thank you. Because being a good mother is a really, really hard job. It's a hard job. And it always has been. You know, for decades, I think, in America, our culture was that if you're a woman, you were supposed to be a mom and be happy about it. And just, you know, never say anything negative about being a mother. And you were just supposed to maybe endure all the hardships because, oh, for the joy set before you of being a mom and watching your kids grow. All of the pain and sacrifice doesn't matter. Well, I'm pleased to say one of the things that has evolved in our culture is that we don't have to pretend as much as we used to. We can actually be honest. And I was researching for this message, and I encountered a website where women who loved being mothers and were appreciative of the blessing that it was had a chance to express both the joy and the hardship of what they felt, that duality of emotions that they felt in being a mom. Now, they had a lot of positive things about being a mother. You know, they said, what do you like most about being a mother? And one of the things they said is, we love seeing our kids just be kids. You know, to look out on the playground and watch them just do that stuff. You know, you guys, I'm a little older. My kids are, you know, can take me in a fight, you know, a fair fight. We're sort of at that point. But you know, you love watching your kids be kids. Just go out and hang out. Moms love to spend time and bond with kids. To have them talk to them and share their struggles. I mean, can I get an amen in this house? You know, that's cool. That's so amazing that somebody would let you into that part of their life. They love hugs and cuddling. Anybody of you have a cuddle bunny as a kid? You know, one of your kids just love to get on your lap and just kind of, you know, put their head on your shoulders. Not all kids are that way, but anybody have a kid like that? Yeah, that's such a cool thing. That's such a nice thing. Do you like watching your kids learn new things? Yes. You know, I was able to help my kids with math up through calculus, and then it got a little sketchy. It's been a long time since I was in school, I got you to know. But I love watching my kids learn. I loved watching my daughter, you know, she was really into Spanish for a while. And she got to the point where she could actually hold a conversation, you know, with waiters or whatever. And so she would say, you know, rude things about me to people. No, I don't know what she said, but I wished I could speak Spanish. Spanish is the only class I ever got thrown out of in high school. With good reason, I might add. I just want to let it, but I love the fact that my daughter could kind of, you know, learn that at the time. And Parents love seeing their children become adults and becoming parents of their own. Payback is a beautiful thing. I just want to say that anyway. But that's funnier than you're giving me credit for. But there are some challenges. And the same website talked about some of the difficulties of being a mom. And I think it's important on Mother's Day that we acknowledge, hey, they paid some dues. They carried some burdens. One of the things that they said, and this was funny to me, is that this whole loss of personal space and flexibility. That when you're a mother, everybody feels like they can invade your time whenever they want to. This one woman said, she has three kids, and she said, look, I just want to go to the bathroom for 5 minutes without somebody banging on the door. And you guys are chuckling. I called my sister last night who had five kids. I said, is that true? She said, oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. They still do it. Just leave me alone. I'm in the bathroom. Give me a break, will you? I mean, you love being a kid, but that's a hard one. There's another woman who said this. She said, I love being a mother of two kids, but I've been tired for 12 years. Ever since I had my kid, I haven't had a good night's sleep in over a decade. I don't know what it is, because it just, you have to be first up and you're the last to go to bed often, and it's just, you're just tired. I mean, it's a lot of work. Can I get an amen in this house? I mean, I thought it's important that we remember that. Anxiety. God only knows the terrified nights that I put my mother through as an adolescent. Seriously, I am so glad my kids are not me. I don't know, if my kids were me, I don't know what I'd do. I'd freak out. I put my mom through a lot of stress. She was worried about all kinds of things. Moms do that. And I'm not sure why. I mean, I know you're all supposed to have faith. You know, we're not supposed to have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a mind, sound mind. But when you got a kid who's gone stupid the way I did during my teenage years, it's hard not to have a little bit of trepidation. Can I get an amen in this? I mean, seriously. And that anxiety, that weighs on you. I love the story Wally used to tell about Marilyn. They were having challenges with Michael, and he'd just gone to bed, and Marilyn was anxious about it, and she reaches over and punches him and tells him, wake up and worry, which I know was good. Wake up and worry, Wally. I'm not carrying this burden alone. And I just... But that's a reality, because mothers love. You know why you're anxious? Because you love. You care. If you didn't care, you wouldn't worry. But if you care what happens to your children, if you want to see them blessed and prosper and thrive and do well, it can be a little anxious. Moms struggle, particularly today, with feelings of inadequacy because of artificial, unrealistic expectations. Seriously. You take your kids to school, and there's always the woman dropping off the kids who looks like she stepped out of the beauty salon, and she just had, you know, her dress is all made up, and everything is great, and her kids look perfect, and their backpack is wonderful. Their socks match. We considered it a victory if they had socks. I remember one mom telling me one time, her kids went to a school where they had uniforms. You guys ever, any of your kids go to school with that? Okay, well, she said they had a rule that her son had to wear a belt. And so she got this call from the school, you know, repetitively. And they said, I'm sorry, your son came to school without a belt again. And she goes, all I ever wanted to say to them was, hey, was he wearing pants? If he's not buck naked, it was a win by my book. We got him out the door. We dropped him off at the school. What are you worried about a belt for? I thought this was a victory. But you don't say that, because you're an Uber mom and you wouldn't do that. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's my fault that he forgot for the 47th time to put the belt on that was sitting on his bed that I laid out this morning so he wouldn't forget it. There's something unique to Christian mothers, though, that they've found. This was sort of the eye-opening for me. And I know it's real, but they found that both single and married Christian mothers are concerned that they don't get adequate spiritual support from their husbands. Amen. Nobody look at your spouse right now, please. You know, this isn't the moment. And that's true. But I want to encourage you, particularly if you're online, if you are raising a child and you don't have a Christian mate, or you don't have a mate at all. Did you know that I believe 30%, one in three children in America are being raised in a single house, head of household now. It's a huge number. And it's an overwhelming for some people. There's no one to help. But I want you to know this. I know it's difficult, and I don't want to make light of the extra burden that being a single parent or being a parent in a non-believing home is. But this is Bible. You are more than adequate with God's help. And this is a little side message just for these people. Just hang with me. You are more than adequate with God's help to raise amazing kids. Your kids are not guaranteed to be spiritual failures because your spouse isn't a giant of the faith, or they're not even in the children's lives, or they're a thug. Trust me, I've had a lot of moms over the years I've met whose their spouse is a thug. I've known a couple of husbands, fathers, whose wives were thugs. But the Bible says that light pushes back darkness. 1 Corinthians 7:14 says this, "For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage, and the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy, but now they are holy." This is evidenced in the life of Timothy. Y'all know who Timothy was? He was Paul's superstar protege. He was Paul's number one guy. Paul wrote to the people of Philippi, and he said this in Philippians 2:20. He said that I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. He ended up becoming the bishop of Ephesus. He was, by every definition, the rock star disciple of Paul. What was interesting about Timothy, though, is he was raised in a biracial home of a Greek father, but by all historical accounts, and I really did look for it, by all historical accounts, there's no evidence that his father was a Christian in any way, shape, or form. But he had a believing mother and a believing grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Paul meets him in Acts 16 and actually invites him to become part of his traveling entourage and begins to disciple and mentor him. And as he is sending Timothy out, he says this in 2 Timothy 1 verses 5. "I remember your genuine faith," talking to Timothy, "for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." If Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother could raise a champion for Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit, so can you. So can you. You are more than adequate with God's help to raise amazing kids. And never forget that. Never forget that. Yes, it's hard, but there is a grace for every situation in our lives. And so, mothers would like support. But you know what else mothers would like? Expressions of appreciation and affirmation. They just want somebody to say thank you. Thank you for the mac and cheese. Thank you for the burnt meatloaf. Thank you for the under-seasoned chicken. Thank you that I didn't throttle you today. Thank you. You know, that they just want some acknowledgement. You know, remember all those hardships I mentioned, the anxiety, the effort, the fatigue, the personal space that you had to give up? They'd like somebody to at least say, "Hey, I really appreciate what you did." And again, I don't know why this is true, but this is something that is far too common in our lives. When I was a little boy, I was so cute. I had blonde hair. Did you know that? It was light hair. I had these cute dimples. I had this wonderful face. I was skinny. I was skinny, and I had a big smile, and I'd talk to anybody. And we lived, you know, where there were wildflowers, and we'd go out and play, and I'd pick wildflowers, and I'd bring them into my mom, and I'd go, "Mom, I love you." And I'd give her these weeds that I thought were flowers. You know, dandelions and whatnot. Anyway, I mean, I did it all the time because I don't know why, I just did. And I know that just blessed my mother's heart. And then puberty hit. And then teenage years hit. And I don't know what happened, but frankly, I just ignored and took my mother for granted for about a decade. I don't know why I did. It's not that I stopped caring about my mother. I just stopped expressing affection to her. What a crummy kid I was. No, it's not true. I wasn't a crummy kid. I was just a kid. And somehow you get really self-absorbed during those years. I was in college. I'd just given my life to Christ, and it was Mother's Day, I think 1983. And we were getting ready to enter finals week, and there was a guy named Doug Sharp, who was one of the guys that helped disciple me early in my walk with Christ. And Doug goes, "What are you giving your mothers for Mother's Day?" And I go, "Nothing." And he goes, "Well, don't you send her a card?" "No." I used to make her a card with a kid with the crayons. I think she has, you know, well, she's passed now, but she saved those someplace somewhere. And he looked at me and said, "Well, this is the last year you ever do that." And he literally drove me to the store and made me buy a card, hand address it, put the postage on it, because you mailed cards in those days, and mail it to my mother so that she got it before Mother's Day. And I owe a debt to Doug Sharp to reawaken within me the reality that I need to be appreciative to my mom. Mothers want that. What was interesting to me, though, is in the surveys that I was looking at and the research that I was doing, that both fathers and mothers, 90% of them, wish that their spouse expressed appreciation to them more often and told them, "You're doing a really good job as a mother. You're doing a really good job as a father." And I thought about that. I said, you know, that's true. When Sarah tells me, you know, "You're a good dad," on those rare occasions when I am, I appreciate that. And I'm thinking about how sensitive am I to the Holy Spirit's encouragement in me to express affection to my wife and say, "Hey, you know, Sarah, you're a darn good mom. You work really hard. You got 2 full-time jobs, plus being a mother. You write and travel and, you know, a whole lot of responsibilities. And all through it, you trust God and you pray and you serve the Lord." I want to encourage you spouses that if you haven't realized that showing appreciation to your spouse for the efforts that they've put into raising both of your children, it would be a good time to do that. You're doing a good job, moms. And we do appreciate that. And so I don't know whether you're going to get a call or an email or a text. I don't know whether you're going to find a crayon written card at home when you get there. I don't know whether your spouse is right now feeling guilty because they didn't pick something up for you this week. But today, before you leave this church, we want to make sure that every woman, every mom, and every grandma receives a little rose that shows you that God loves you, and a little bath bomb so that maybe you can find some personal time when you can lock the door and tell everybody, "Don't come in the bathroom for the next 45 minutes because it's me time now." So if you would go ahead and just raise your hands, moms, and we're going to have the ushers just go ahead and serve you. This is our small token of appreciation to you, and we just want to say thank you. Amen. This is a little survey for me. How many of you like red roses the best? How many of you like yellow or blue or one of the other colored roses the best? Nathan, you don't count. Nathan raises, "I like yellow roses." That's fine. You can like roses. Men can like roses. I doubt I get you one on Father's Day, Nathan. I just want you to know, I doubt I get you one on Father's Day. Thank you. We do love and appreciate you, moms. How many of you are going out for a brunch or something today? Just wave at me. Yeah. We don't like to do that because, frankly, we hate fighting crowds. I'm lazy. I guess that's one of my characteristics. Yeah. Anyway. Now, as the ushers are serving you, so, moms, you're doing a good job. Are you perfect? What do you think? Are you perfect? No, you're not perfect. You know, no mother's perfect. No father's perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to forget your kid's lunch one day. You're going to miss some appointment you were supposed to be at. You're going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know, it's just, you're human, okay? No, you're not perfect, but that's okay. Sometimes, you make big mistakes. Anybody ever make a big mistake with their kids? Please do not raise your hands. I have. I've made some big mistakes. I overpromised and underdelivered. Terrible for a father to do that. Word of advice, young man, underpromise and overdeliver. Doesn't matter what it is. Don't tell them you're going to do something and then kind of get it halfway done. Don't do that. Learn from my errors. Can you do anything about the big mistakes you've made? No. What's interesting is that I've had a couple of women come up to me, and men too, and tell me, you know, I knew I'd made some errors in my life as a parent, but until my kids hit their 30s, I didn't know what they were, because that's when they begin to tell me everything I'd ever done wrong as a parent. Another word of advice. Never call up your parents and tell them, I forgive you. For what, pray tell? Well, I just want you to know all of the things that you did wrong for me. That's not honest. That's manipulation. You want to sit down and have an honest conversation with your parents? Hey, I want to talk about some stuff. Have an honest conversation. But don't do some spiritual manipulation. Don't call anyone up ever and say, I forgive you. Don't do that. Here's the issue I want to leave you with, mothers. If you've made some mistakes and you're cognizant of them and you're aware of them, you've confessed them, asked your child to forgive you, put more confidence in the grace of God than you do your obedience. See, the grace of God is an amazing thing. And love covers a multitude of sins. I love my children. You love your children. That covers so many mistakes. There's things that you've done that you can't undo, but do not stress on those. Trust God's grace more than your obedience, because there is no way that you're going to be perfect 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 365 days. It just is not realistic. And so I want to wrap up this Mother's Day appreciation with one final word of encouragement. Moms, if you want to know what will really move you into the pantheon of super momdom, would you really, really like to move to the pantheon of just, you are the elite group of just A-team mothers? Yes. You can do this one thing. Because this, in my opinion, is what made Timothy such a superstar for God. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul's writing, he says, you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. Who do you think taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures? And they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And you want to be a superstar, Mom? Put God's word into your kids. Because the word of God will not return void. And there's nothing else that you could possibly do for them. You could bake all the birthday cakes, and you can host all the cupcake dinners, and you can attend every game and everything else on the planet. You can do all of this stuff to try to raise amazing kids. But there is nothing you can do that is more powerful than putting God's word into your kids and teaching them to trust the truth of his word more than anything else they have in their lives. And so that is the end of my message. That is the end of my encouragement. I appreciate each and every one of you. And I'd just like to ask, if you would right now, every mother and grandmother, adoptive mom, whatever, would you just stand to your feet if you're able? And let's just give them a rousing hand clap of appreciation and just say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. Thank you for having us. Thank you for not throwing us back. Thank you for the good things you did. And we get why we were hard to raise. God bless you, Father. Bless each and every woman who is here. Prosper the work of their hands. Help them grow and thrive. And let them know that their labor in the Lord was not in vain. And that, Father, that those of us who are still works in progress, the last line isn't written, and that when you raise up a child in the way that they should go, they will not depart from that. We cast any anxieties that we have over on you, Father. We realize that there's nothing we can do about the mistakes we've made, but trust you, that you're bigger than our mistakes. We thank you for all of the women who are such a blessing to us this day, this Mother's Day 2021. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ladies, thank you. If you're watching online or you're here live and you're saying that, you know, I haven't been in church in a while and I haven't listened to a sermon in a while, I haven't really thought about God in a while, and you would really like to know more about God, or maybe initiate a conversation about God, or even talk to God or rededicate your life to God, that's not hard. It's really not hard. All you have to do to invite the Lord into your life is simply say, Father, I believe in you. I'm sorry for the mistakes I've made. I believe that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I invite him into my life and ask you to forgive me of my mistakes. And I want to follow you. I want to change. I want to be different. That's all you have to do. Just wherever you're seeing this message, that's all you have to do. If you want to have a conversation about God, if you've got questions, all you need to do is reach out to us at the church. We would be honored and privileged to meet with you for coffee or whatever, and just talk about Jesus. We got people in our church who love talking about Jesus, and they're not here to judge you or tell you where you're wrong. They're just here to have a conversation about God and help you. And if you need prayer for anything at any time, you can always reach us by just simply emailing ec@ecdenver.org. We'll always be there for you. Our intercessors will be there for you. We love you. Go with God. Have a great, great holiday. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.